Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics podcast.
I'm Andy Little.
I'm Plushy.
My name is Rusty.
We're talking all things Monado Meltdown.
We certainly are.
Yeah, and angry Plushy too.
Match director, mate. Match director.
Chemistry, powder, bang. Whoop. That's good.
Hope that's enough.
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we are on the podcast.
All right, go on back.
Roll the outro. All right, gentlemen, we are back for episode two this year.
Hello.
Whatever episode we're actually up to, but the second one back, and you guys all shot a match.
We did.
Not very well.
Better than I did. Yeah. Better than I did. But before we get into that, we have to start with our Josh is here. Hello, Josh.
I'm here.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
how are you?
Good.
Oh, you can see me on
Josh.
The screen.
We can see you on the screen.
That is bigger than life-size,
kind of,
Josh.
Kind of weird because I can't see you anymore.
So much smaller in real life.
I forgot about that.
He is so much smaller. Okay, anyway, moving on to our round count. So last 2 weeks, we'll start off with Josh, who is huge at the moment on the screen. Josh, how many rounds have you shot since 2 weeks ago? You were sitting on 750. What are
you
going to
be about 800 now.
What, last week?
Not last week, in total, about 50.
About 50. Okay, 50. About 50. So, all right, about 50. Andy, what about you, mate?
I forgot. Because I was talking about it before, wasn't I?
Plushy, what about you? Somebody remembers things.
Okay, so what did we work out? I did load dev before a match, don't recommend.
Okay.
So I did about 300 load dev before the match. Matches.
Just before the, right.
Before that, plus another like 120 practice and 250-ish for the match. So what's that, about 650 maybe, center fire?
Let's just write 650.
It didn't help me.
Okay. Righto. I wrote down how many I shot. I shot 74 because we went to an aim point training night, didn't we, Andy and Josh as well.
Yeah.
So I shot 74 there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Josh, do you remember the side comp? Actually, any of you guys remember the side comp of the match?
Side comp.
How many rounds was that? Was that 8?
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, I shot 82 then. So I'm...
Cool.
I had 82, my current 50, so I'm at 115.
Yep.
No.
You meant 658.
658 because of the side very match. Good. Cool. Josh, am I bumping you up 8 as well?
I included that.
Oh, good man. Good man. Smart.
No, nice.
Smart.
Right, I did maths.
Well, back to you.
I forgot about the side comp and the aim point again.
Yep.
Because we
talked about that.
So about 50 for the aim point.
Sure. Yep.
Side comp, that's 8. And then I was able to duck away and do a bit of testing on my 22 at a local range. So that would have been about 350.
350 is your total number?
No, that's just for the 22.
Oh, far out. You guys are smashing.
Yeah, trying out some different ammo.
Yeah.
And then the meltdown. So 350, another 280 for meltdown.
This is not meant to be a maths podcast, by the way.
It was 300 minus 20, Rusty.
Yeah, it's 300 minus 20. Yeah. It's 280.
280 plus the 350.
Yep.
What's that?
It's more.
Yep. So let's say 500.
630.
It's more than 500. Yeah, about 630 plus 8. Yeah.
This is why I don't do the quoting at work.
Should probably stop doing the talking at work as well. All right, very good. Now we have a review. We've pulled from whatever the thing is, iTunes, not iTunes, what's it called now, Apple Podcasts. Mm. There was a review that has come in, so we're going to read this one out. But stay tuned because there's going to be – maybe something tonight with a giveaway is going to be connected to reviews, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, great. This is from Shift Work Sucks.
Right.
A great Australian long-range shooting podcast. If you have a love of rifle shooting, especially long-range precision shooting, the hosts are down-to-earth Australian shooters who can also have a laugh at themselves and each other. It's pretty much – we probably could stop it there. While doing this, they also discuss long-range shooting occasionally. I have learned a whole lot listening to the podcast. I highly recommend this Australian-produced podcast. Keep up the great work, guys.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. It's a nice boost.
How much did that cost?
Downhill from here. I like to start the show at the peak and then drop away from there. So very, very nice. Good. Now, Andy, you sent through some photos to us before.
Yes.
You bought a new toy.
I did. I bought myself a Test Long bore scope.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really wanted to see how I abuse my barrel and don't maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. No, that's too good.
Yep.
Go back to the No, that's a clean. That's
is that
a clean?
That's clean. That's not clean,
you know,
buddy.
You know, people can't see that screen, right? Unless I press the button.
Okay. So let's show us the dirty one.
So, I must say, like,
that's the dirty one right there.
I pressed the wrong button that time.
Josh has come up on screen and is definitely the dirty one. All right, let's.
So, I mean, I guess like a lot of people, they clean a barrel.
Here we go.
And they assume their barrel's clean because they've pushed through a few carbon patches, mm-hmm. a bit of a scrub, a couple of dries, and then mm-hmm. a few copper solvent patches, a bit of a scrub, a bit of a patch out, and then they might do that a couple of times.
Yep.
They look down and they think, sweet, it's shiny as, it's really clean. And that's mm-hmm. what I thought whenever I cleaned my rifle probably 2 or 3 weeks after a match until I got this, and then mm-hmm. and then I cried a bit.
I did pre-warn you when I suggested you buy one. I'm like, be prepared. You're going to feel like you need new barrels.
Yep.
Okay. So what are we looking at here?
That is called a carbon ring is what that is called.
That is mm-hmm. a big carbon
ring. That's a huge carbon ring. You know how your gun stopped shooting on like Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, probably that.
I'm pretty confident.
So
okay.
So, obviously just before the lens or the freebore, mm-hmm. big carbon ring there, which –
So for those looking at this picture, obviously, if you're listening, sorry. But actually, I'll try and paint a picture somehow with words. There's a ring of carbon. I didn't do that.
It's majestic.
That is where the end of your case sits.
Yeah, so the shiny bit would be where your neck is of the brass.
Yep.
And then just before that, you've got a big build-up of carbon. And
a lot of build-up there. Yeah, okay. Cool. So, that's not helping you.
No. And right. Then that's probably just where the lands are starting there.
And we've just changed into starting to look at the rifling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not quite so shiny as you would hope for.
No, that's a clean one.
And then what did you do? So you cleaned it.
Yeah. That's
okay. Not right photo, but, that's looking better.
Yeah. So I gave it about 4 or 5 hours in total over a couple of nights,
mm-hmm.
just from carbon solvent, scrubbing with bronze brushes, using a drill. Pushing.
How did you use the drill?
Yeah, let's curious. Talk about that. Yeah.
Oh, so
put some holes in it so I could vent out of it.
So the drill I used with nylon brushes, and it was mainly to hit the freebore and the carbon ring.
Okay.
With a nylon brush.
Yeah. A hammer drill or?
No, normal drill, battery drill. And then so I had an old cleaning rod I'd cut down, so it's probably half a length, maybe a couple of feet. And that was, just really for that carbon ring at the start. And then the rest of it was all just by hand. But took ages back and forth. And then I ended up getting some JB boar paste in there.
Mm-hmm. That's what you like to use, isn't it, Plushy?
It is. It breaks up carbon real good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I guess I've still got a bit to go, but it's a lot better than it was.
Plushy, you probably had the most experience with looking down barrels like this. Mm. How does that look to you?
It's dirty, but the barrel itself's in pretty good nick.
Okay.
How many rounds do you reckon you got on it?
1400?
Yeah, I'd expect to see in a Creedmoor, I'd expect to see firecracking a lot worse than that.
Okay.
So it's actually in pretty good nick, I would say, except for those scratches on the lead.
Yeah.
That are a bit weird. Andy's got some scratches going lengthwise, sort of
mm-hmm.
odd.
There is a photo.
Those three might be the only ones that I put in.
Oh,
so I'd be curious when it comes clean if they're still there or if they disappear. It's a little bit hard to get. Sometimes it'll be hard to get the depth in the In the photos you get out of the borescope.
Yep.
Whether it might be like really, really quite fine and it looks really big.
Yeah.
I reckon that's recoverable.
Okay.
Mm. So
Andy, have you shot it since cleaning it?
No, I haven't. Sorry. No. In a couple of weekends.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'll put another 10 rounds through it and then maybe start doing some groups again, playing with seeding depth and
see what it does.
Get ready for Mildura.
Put it back to where it was. it'll be fine.
Foul it up again.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Absolutely. Now,
I don't know what that measurement was.
Oh, really?
Oh, one something.
We should talk about that for 1 second.
Just mag length.
Sorry?
So, Andy's gun stopped shooting on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, this is why I didn't
win.
When
you say, now, this it's one of many reasons. When you say stopped shooting,
I should have sent
clarify a little bit more about what that means because you obviously kept on shooting.
So, yeah, so Friday, well, before the match, I did a really smart thing.
Let's go back. Let's talk about that.
At finale last year, I'd
this table was moving a lot.
Made the rounds just a little bit hotter because I knew the finale would be very windy.
Just for the long range shots? Just for everyone, yeah.
Oh, I only push up to
20. Did you spend some good time on load development? Did you just make them a little bit hotter?
Did you put them in the oven or what did you do?
Microwave, I heard, is pretty good. I just bumped them up to about 2950. And then so I've brought them back to my original load of 2860 something. But I didn't play the seating depth and I thought Friday I'll play with the seating depth before the match. But they did shoot reasonably well, like sort of clover leafing, quite acceptable for what we sort of do. And then the last couple of stages on the Saturday I got two threes. One of them was definitely my fault, but the other stage I was like, I cannot hit this target. And that's when I went to the 100-meter range and it opened up like a good inch and a half, a little bit. Mm. So I gave it to Plushy to shoot and,
it was worse.
It was worse.
Right. So
we ended up bumping your projectiles back. Well, we talked about the only thing you can do, the only thing you could change at that point, because Andy didn't have a tuner on there, do you?
No.
Well, the only thing you can do is seat the projectiles deeper and hopefully find a happy place. Mm. We ended up doing about 10th hour, 15th hour or something, and it shot pretty decent.
Yeah. Just pushed them in 10th hour and, tightened straight back up again. We tried an extra five after that and then it started doing horizontal.
I reckon you got away from that carbon ring.
Yeah.
Might have helped a little bit as well.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Well, we'll see how it goes, how it performs. I should clarify why Plushy's in the middle playing tennis tonight, because he was here last.
That's right.
So if you're here last, you get in the middle, which I look forward to Josh being in the middle one night. All right. The challenge. We set ourselves a challenge last podcast about who would finish higher at Meltdown. Mm. Josh, would you like to reveal to us who finished higher at Meltdown?
Is this a really bad bit where I can't remember?
Yeah. That's why I threw it to you. Okay. Plushy, where did you finish?
What did you say? Seventh, I think.
Yeah. Andy, where did you finish?
Ninth.
Which number's bigger? Did you need help? Ninth. Andy, now what I don't remember is what the challenge was. Ooh. Do you guys remember what it was?
No.
Hey, Josh, what was the challenge?
I can tell you in about 5 minutes when I look it up.
Well,
I actually have no idea.
I can't remember. The last 2 weeks has been such a blur.
Yeah.
It was only like a couple of points between you two, wasn't it?
It wasn't a lot.
No. It was not much at all.
Not much up at the top end.
Okay. Well, if you jump on practice call, Josh, you might be able to find out how many points it was. While we work out what the challenge actually was for, I have another challenge to propose. So in a couple of weeks, not this weekend because it's Easter, but next weekend, Steve Hurt from Outer Edge Projectiles will be here. And Josh, I believe that you and I will be at the range at the same time on the Saturday.
So far, that is the plan.
That is checking out. Okay. Gentlemen, will any of you be at the range on the Saturday? This will be the 15th, I think.
I'm going to say highly unlikely for me.
Okay. Cool. Andy, possible?
I don't believe so.
As long as two of us are there, it checks out. The goal, the idea is that we, same rifle, same ammo, shooter group, best group.
Right.
Oh, good one.
One of those old school type of actual who can shoot better type things or who's luckier. One of the two. Yep. So probably the luckier bit.
At what distance? Got to clarify this.
At the same distance.
Right.
Yeah, just to clarify, at the same distance. And 100 metres right. on paper, so we actually get a good clarity because we don't usually have paper further than that at Monado. So 100 metres, same rifle. I'm going to propose the GT. Because we probably would have done some loading for it with Steve to then go out and shoot it. And tightest group from three shots. All right.
Oh, this is a good one. So are we talking precise or accurate?
We are talking precise. Well,
so just group. Straight up smallest group. Doesn't matter where
straight
it is
up,
on the paper.
Straight up smallest group. Okay. Yeah, because you get behind it, I'll get behind it, Andy get behind it, and we potentially are printing at slightly different points on the paper.
Yeah.
So looking for tightest group.
Yep. I think that definitely, even when you shot my rifle on the Saturday, I think even between shooter and shooter, if it's the same platform, you'll definitely get different size groups.
It's because Andy's Plushy's a better shooter than you.
Not with Andy's gun, wasn't
No. It opened up worse.
Good. Anyway, so whoever's at the range on that day, and what are we going to be challenging for, Josh? Because likely you and me. You have to host the show.
No, I'm out.
He'll throw it.
I'm sick that day.
press the buttons.
Fair enough. whoever loses pours all the drinks for the night.
Oh, that's easy.
Do you know what I'd do, Josh? Mm. I'd take one shot and put two into the dirt.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, but we're not all scammers like you.
Yeah. Just, it's a small group, mate.
Three shot group. Has to be all three.
What if all three went through the same hole?
They didn't.
Because they will.
Yeah.
They didn't because I watched the trace. All right. Cool.
100.
So group shooting. Group shooting. Just stop floating floors now on challenges. And whoever has to not only pour the drinks for the night, but has to buy the drinks for the night. Oh, I've just upped it for Josh.
Ooh. I'm in trouble. Can I get paid?
Let's talk about this later. Speaking of getting paid, the beer chat. Is that a segue? Our sponsor, the beer chat.
Half good one.
It's half good one. No, you don't have a hat on. Put some matte cream into your hair.
I thought it was for my beard. That could have been.
I mean, you could do it. Actually, in fact, you put everything else in your beard, so you may as well put that in your beard. This is from the Bearded Chap. So whoever doesn't know about the Bearded Chap yet, you guys obviously relatively new to the podcast. They're our sponsor, a fantastic company based up in Queensland. The owner is a shooter and an all-round legend, and they make amazing beard products. And they're making great hair products as well that you can also put in your beard, it would appear. Mm. Can you like kink like your beard off to the side now? Because it's got some.
Probably.
Oh, you can. but anyway, you can go to their website, thebeardedchap.com/impact, and you'll be supporting a shooter owned business as well as the podcast here as well. And you also make yourself look good and smell good and be good.
That smells great.
Is that?
Yeah.
It does smell good.
Yeah, it actually does really smell good.
Yeah, yeah. I would buy a candle in that smell.
I just might just do this first for the show. The code is impact, or you can go to thebeardedchap.com/things. I've been distracted by the smell immensely. That's how good it is.
You should put that away.
I should definitely put that away. That won't end well. Andy, what's the website you can go to?
Thebeardedchap.com/impact.
There you go.
Or it might be .com.au.
No, it's not. Well, it is either, but I think .com's fine.
Yep. Yeah.
This one doesn't burn. It's much better. Much better product for your beer. Do recommend.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That is a good benefit. All right. Very good. Now we did some. We had a competition last show. We were going to do some giveaways of a couple of t-shirts. We had some entries. I believe there was two ways of entering. One was at the PRS. Take some photos with either of you and put up on Instagram and tag us in. And I believe there was one entry and it was a solid entry because it contained both of you in it. Josh, have we got that photo somewhere?
Oh, no.
We sure do.
Good.
When my buttons work.
There we go. There's Rosie who tagged in all of us in. And look at that. Yeah. And plus, you went over to that little 4x4 thing to go and get some quiet time by yourself.
I wanted some alone time, yeah, because I just bombed on a stage and everyone just kept coming talking to me. I was like, go away.
You look really happy about it. So, Rosie, we'll get you a t-shirt, probably the Manners one, I think. And then we also had some memes or some photos or something like that about welcoming Plushie to the podcast. So, Josh, what?
So, first up, we have superannuation Plushie.
Yeah.
And next up.
That's about how much I spent on shooting last year.
We have Hulk Plushie.
That one lines up. We also had an in-person toy dropped off of Plushie, a mascot for the show, which is – that's pretty good actually.
Can you hold it up to the camera and then all the people can see?
That would be what the professionals would do. That's why I didn't do it. There you go.
Is that Papa Smurf with that Smurf? Smurf. Papa Smurf.
We need, Plushie needs to hold that. We need a still of Plushie holding.
We do.
With your hands doing that.
No, stretching.
It's not going
to,
no.
I'll hold it. You do the hand. Well, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'm looking at this from three angles. All of them look weird.
Sorry for those who are listening. What we have is a little Papa Smurf with a painted on red beard in some sort of plate on wheels because they're normal things.
Yep.
All right. That'll go on. There's going to be a little cabinet next show behind there. And it'll it's one of those pullback things where it then runs off. Oh, we're going to up. it's yeeted itself off the table. Yeah. All right, do we think the little wheeled thing, do we think the Hulk Plushie or the superannuation Plushie has the win?
That one's just funny to hear.
Is it funny because he's spending all his superannuation already on all the ammo?
True, true.
What are we going with?
What are we going with?
I like the dedication of the Smurf.
Of the toy.
Yeah. Someone went to the effort of dropping that in.
Yes.
Papa Plushie is a good one.
Oh, Papa Plushie has it. Well done, Papa Plushie. You will get yourself a ring shirt. I think Tony did that one.
So. I think that's a new nickname for
Papa Plushie.
I don't know. There's many moods of Plushie.
We'll get to that later, Josh. Don't give it all away. Hey, we have another giveaway. Josh, we did come up with an idea for a giveaway. What was it?
Did we?
That's what
now you've thrown to me. I've got a mental blank. That's not good.
That's why I threw to you because I had no idea what it was.
Oh, I remembered it.
Oh, here we go.
For the next giveaway, if...
Oh, yeah, I do remember it. That's right.
But we both got there in the end.
Yeah, we did eventually.
If you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, or I believe you can do it on Spotify.
Yep, either one.
Either one.
Something we can read out.
The one that we read out in the next episode, we'll get a prize.
I think we got some hats.
We did that.
Vortex hats, Seiko hats. We might even give a couple of prizes. Hey, Josh, if you move your glass, the camera might focus on you.
Maybe.
An idea.
There it is.
That's better.
It thinks you're a dehydrated orange, mate.
Perfect. I feel like it.
Actually, I can see why. If you get anything from Plushie being on the show, leave us a 5-star review. Because not much else going on here for 5 stars.
I think that's called bribery, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Is this how we get our reviews?
This is the only way people review us for 5 stars, and we won't read out a 4-star review or anything less, so don't bother with those. They're wasted.
I thought it was just because I'm here.
Okay, so.
Moving on.
Speaking of you being here, how did the match go for you apart from, well, actually, you've alluded to how well it went for you because it didn't go so well. You didn't do badly.
You
finished a lot higher than me or Josh would have. Actually, you finished a lot higher than I would have. And same with you, Plushie. I mean, you both guys did well, but Plushie, you started the weekend off firing on all cylinders, looking really good. And then you started shooting. you did a few good stages. And Andy, you kicked off pretty well as well from what I recall.
Yep.
How was it being back into PRS shooting, Andy?
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. You start to realize all of the mistakes and all of the bad habits start to crop up again. All those pre-stage nerves and adrenaline kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mental blanks halfway through a stage. And my wind reading skills have completely disappeared.
gone with the wind, man.
Yeah, it was just gone. We were fighting a bit of a switchy headwind.
That was odd.
Yeah, very odd for Monado. And I overcompensated way too much. Like a lot of the times I would go off the mirage and hold maybe just on the edge of the target or just off, and that's exactly where my rounds were going. And then at the same time it was tricky. You'd watch mirage going one direction and you'd notice flags or dust from targets going another direction. So it was, interesting.
Mm. Sounds like there was 3 points between you guys when it all came down to it.
Well,
not much.
Plushie, how was your fourth stage? Third
stage?
The one that went real bad.
Oh, that one, yeah.
that's what I'm trying to get to, the one you didn't go great on.
Yeah, I did a thing where I read the stage brief and then asked the RO several questions and asked him to explain it several times. And thank you, Maxwell. He thought I was taking the piss and started explaining it more difficultly to me.
Oh, this is a tale of stories, I think, in photo form as well now.
This is as you were writing your data down.
Yeah, I was genuinely confused. And so I wrote the data down on my matchbook, as I do, and then I transferred it to my wristband, my data holder. And then I started shooting the stage and I think I might have got the first two impacts. And then I didn't get any and I stopped and I looked at my data card and I was like, I followed that.
We might have a video.
And then I looked at the stage officer, Maxwell. I'm like, I'm doing it wrong, aren't I? He's like, yep. I was like, any pointers? He's like, nope.
Oh, we've got video.
Oh, how good is this? This is going to be tough watching.
Yeah. So Plushie is in the back of a ute. Shooting through a part you'd never shoot through because the car would be there. Mm. But anyway, shooting through the front of the ute. Good solid barricade. Nothing wrong
with
that.
Oh, Maxwell taking photos.
Maxwell.
Video.
Joining in on it.
I moved and I wasn't supposed to move is what I did.
Is that the problem? Okay, so it was an out of order thing.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
And then once you're out of order, it's difficult to get yourself back into
order. Well, I'd written the order down wrong. I just didn't know, and I'd obviously misunderstood the stage. Mm. So,
because it was two shots in that first position, I think. And then move.
Was it two or four or something?
I think it was four. Oh, or was it two, then four? Something like
two,
that.
Two, then four, I think is what you told
I think
me.
I did two and two, okay, and then moved.
All right.
Nah.
Yeah.
We'll see. No, I must have been. There we go. And that's when I did it wrong.
Oh, okay. That was meant to be four there.
And then he's turned and said, no impacts.
He's dubbed you in.
Yeah. Okay. It's almost this point here where I'm like, hang on a minute, I hit that.
Did I do something wrong?
Yep. It's challenging here because you've got the data wrong. Now, I would hazard a guess. If you said the correct, like if you went, okay, if I do this on my back, Maxwell would have confirmed that or said no, but he wouldn't have actually told you what to do.
Yeah.
2-2 and then 4, isn't it?
Oh, here you are, clarifying. And you just, the soul leaves your body at this moment.
And it's so frustrating.
As you were told, because you had such a good day so far. And now's not the shining moment. But anyway, that's
it's a frustrating thing.
And now I'm starting to get angry. You can tell.
Angry plushie is showing back up.
Well, now that you mention it,
we
have plushie walking away from that stage.
No, that's after I've had a chance to cool down, and that's me walking to the next stage.
There is an angrier photo than this one here.
Look out.
Struggling to find it.
But Josh has not been able to find it.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So lucky.
As it turns out, what I did was I wrote down 8 targets in my matchbook, and I wrote down 8 targets on my data card, but it was a 10-target stage. Mm. And then I got the moving point wrong, and it was just the wheels fell off. So takeaway from me, I think that's my takeaway from the weekend is – just being a little bit careless and sloppy, not double checking. That's the first time I've ever done that. So it's kind of like I went through and I'm like, well, there was 8 targets written down and there was 10 targets. Obviously it was wrong. You know, it should have been an obvious pickup, but I didn't see it. a couple of other things where it was a bit like pre-shot routines, pre-stage routines as it turns out.
Yeah, okay.
it was off, but pre-shot routines. So I sort of caught myself – I'd take a shot, hit or miss, whatever, and I'd make a correction off of the previous shot for my wind rather than actually looking to see what the wind condition is when I'm about to shoot.
Yep.
And it was a subconscious thing. I didn't realize I was doing it. Mm. I was sort of like, what was going on here? Why am I missing? I'm like, it's because you're not looking at the wind. You're not looking at the indicators right now. You're going off of 5 seconds ago.
You're reacting rather than sort of proactive.
Looking. And then that's something that now I'm going to have to train back in because I've obviously got out of that habit. That's going to take me quite a bit of dry fire practice and actual shooting practice to get that pause for a half a second and go, what is the wind actually doing? Mm. And make that wind call then, not, oh, I missed by a tenth last time, so I'll add 3 tenths and we'll be fine. Mm. We're not. I did a lot of that and I ended up chasing both sides of the target on the weekend a little bit as well with those switchy winds.
Yep. Andy, does you relate to any of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's like you're just saying, pausing for that half second or a little bit after each shot and taking a mental note of where that bullet went, what was the wind doing at that time. It's a really good valuable tip to try and do because most people just let off around, see where it goes and not really take in the environmentals. Well, I found myself sort of looking at the environmentals before I took a shot and overcompensating too much and not trusting the bullet. Like, because I would often, there was a troop line stage and I'd see the bullet go off one side and then I'd be like, that's weird, but Mirage is going that way and it's really strong. So I'm going to hold more wind and miss again.
Found it funny in the lead up to preparing for the show and we sort of, you know, we work a few weeks out as we start planning topics and bits and pieces and we went, the first PRS match of the year. We'll write down the header for our topic as rookie errors.
Yep.
That probably should have been the clue.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago that, first match back, there'll be a few little things sort of, you know, out of sequence and sort of out of practice for and it hit hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm, sorry, plus you were going
to. No, I was going to say that. I think actually I was sort of thinking about it afterwards. And Monado's an interesting range to shoot on, in the sense that there's not a lot of like bushes or anything like that to look at for wind indication. It's pretty much the flags, mirage, and the dust.
Yep.
Whereas a lot of other ranges like Little River and Mildura and even Buchan, Tassie, there was there were indicators.
Trees
and yeah, yeah, that's right. You could, in your field of view, there was an indicator, right? If that tree's flicking, the wind's up. Or if it lets off, the tree sort of stops moving, so I know it's let off. But at Monado, there isn't a lot of those indicators. You've really got to watch the mirage.
Yep.
Really, and I wasn't doing that very well.
Interesting. It's a always first one back is challenging.
Yeah.
So what you talked about some of the things that went wrong. What are the takeaways? Like, what do you go and do now? Now, plus you're match director of the next match, so you're not shooting that one, but there'll be club matches and then, of course, matches afterwards. Tassie's on the list after that. And Andy, are you shooting Mildura?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. So you've got a bit of a time frame now to get ready. Mm. What do you take from that? How do you improve on those areas?
Clean the rifle.
Yep.
Done that.
check.
I think it's going to be just sort of like mental, I don't know, how you describe it, like mentally understanding stages. Like I think the stage that with the video of you in the back of the ute, I had a difficulty on that stage as well because there were lots of targets and mentally like going through and keeping track of what targets you're up to. Just being switched on, I guess. Mm. I think something else that I need to work on is holdovers. I'm not sure. Just get better. might do a bit of dry fire and yep. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Plush? How do you improve on these areas?
I think I'll write out my pre-shot routine again. Mm-hmm. It's a subconscious thing. But
Have you ever written it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Early days.
Just haven't for now.
No, in early when I first started doing like national PRS matches, I used to write a list of all the things I didn't do very well in the matchbook. Mm-hmm. And that was my training for the next, you know, the next month or, you know, back when I started the next 6 months because there was a lot of things.
Yep.
But I had like a list written down of all the things I was going to do pre-shot. Mm-hmm. And that's just become sort of second nature now. But I was trying to break it down. And I think in the quest of trying to get your shots off and time management, you're trying to look to see where you can make efficiencies. And I don't think I've done it on purpose, but it's kind of like I'm rushing to get that next shot rather than that pause. Mm. So I'll write that list down. I'll put it on my on my backpack so I can watch it every shot. Okay, wind. Remember wind.
Yep.
And then it'll get back in there again.
Yeah. And so you're talking, yeah, between shot to shot during a stage, not pre-stage prep, but mainly
pre-shot.
Pre-shot.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I've got a bunch of things that, you know, excuse me, I'm generally like target. Am I looking at the right target?
Yep.
I do a lot of holdovers. So, you know, what is my holdover? Wind call would be in there. But I've made that wind call, as I spoke about, has been off the previous shot, not what the actual conditions are. Mm-hmm.
Just to ask you more on that, obviously you'll use the previous shot as some level of feedback, but then also through the lens of what is currently happening. Is that
you use that to calibrate your wind compass or your wind, you know. So you're like, okay, well I thought it was 4 miles an hour, that was clearly 6 miles an hour or something like that. You're like, okay, it's picked up. Is it the same this shot?
Yeah.
Rather than
turfing all that information off the shot, because the shot gives you information as Andy was talking about, but then you, rather than just going, oh, that was to the left a bit, I will hold now further to the right, you'll go, that was to the left and I held this and this happened, so I will now update my wind call with the current information as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So, yeah, doing that, and then it gets into breathing and trigger press is the last things. And then the other one was, I think it's that trying to get those shots off quickly again, is not hanging around for, we're talking like a quarter of a second to just, I get a general idea of where my shot landed and then I'm gone, rather than seeing where it landed, processing, okay, I did this and this happened, and then go to the next shot. So there's a few things. I probably just need to slow down.
Yeah,
it's probably the takeaway.
Yep.
And I usually get all my shots off. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask that. How were you for time at Monado generally?
Pretty good.
Yep. Is there any stages you timed out on?
The one that we just looked at.
Okay. Yep.
That was
probably you did slow down on that stage.
That was probably about the only. I think there was one other stage where I tripod rear on a 12 shot stage and didn't get my last. I think I'd loaded it and I was about to pull the trigger.
Okay.
No, actually, they went beep and I pulled the trigger and I was like, did it go in? They're like, no.
Try, give it a go.
That's okay. Right.
Yep.
I think for myself, I'll definitely be playing with the tripod rear. I pulled it out on a stage that I definitely shouldn't have. Mm. And then I got the tripod out. And it was so wonky to start with, like just so unfamiliar. And I burnt a lot of time just trying to get comfortable, trying to get it in the right spot.
Yep.
And yeah, it's one of those things. If you don't practice it or keep up with it, it's tricky. But that reading the wind conditions off your last shot and then the next shot, like between shots, that bit me on one of the stages.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a shot at one of the targets. I saw the mirage right to left, hit the left of the plate, swung left, and I was like, sweet, all right, next target back. It's a little bit further distance. Hold right edge, and the bullet went straight off the right edge. Because I think the mirage had changed or the wind had just died off. And, yeah, pretty frustrating. But it's that, taking note before you take the shot as well.
There was a eight-shot stage that had all the eight different height posts off the single.
Oh, yes.
Single, I can't remember what that was called, the single post in the middle. I missed four sides of the target in eight shots. Sorry, both sides of the target four times. I think I got a three or something like that. Yeah. Like in eight shots, the wind changed direction four times. And I was just at that point, I think I'd already had a bad stage. I just walked away and I'm like, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Overall for the match, any takeaways? Good match?
It was a good match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. It was a good test of your like shooter's skill. And being able to mentally run through the stages and keep up with the stages and equipment organisation and things like that.
Yep.
All the barricades were solid and interesting and different. It was really good.
It was a real – the match directors did a brilliant job. Mm-hmm. It was a real shooter's match, like a shooting ability, like your wind calling ability, your spotting. They actually did a thing where they took away your ability to spot trace intentionally on a few stages.
Okay.
How? There was tarps and carpet put up behind the targets.
Or impacts, not so much trace, but you couldn't see.
Oh, sorry, your impact. Yeah. You couldn't see, take that back. Well, kind of, but anyway.
You couldn't see the impacts of your misses.
Yes.
Right.
That's a good way of putting it. But it also, with that dark colours, it was really hard to pick up your trace as well.
Okay.
It was really, really difficult to get impact. So first round impacts were like a lot. When you could see, when you could see on the target where you're hitting, like, okay, I can correct now, I know where it's going. But then some people miss the first one and they'd spend three or four shots trying to get on the target.
Yeah, right, tough.
It was those little skills were really important.
Mm. Yep. Okay, very good. Yeah, it was accounts that I heard, it was a very good course of fire. Yep, very challenging, but good. And I know the guys, as they designed it, they designed for every stage to have a number of points that pretty much everyone could get as long as you pointed the gun the right direction and squeezed the trigger gently. As long as you did your things right, you were going to bank a number of points, sort of almost no matter what skill level you were at.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets the halfway or third of the way and then it gets harder. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to the pointy end and those last, I think the goal was the last sort of one or two or maybe three shots on each stage.
Mm.
You had to work your ass off for.
Yeah, the separator. The separator points.
Yeah. Did that play out from your point of view?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Yeah, there was a few KYL sort of targets and a couple of them were very tiny.
Definitely.
Yeah, they had a really good stage, as you were saying, at 500 metres where they had KYL that didn't have a tarp behind it and then a KYL that did. So, like you're saying, if you didn't get your wind cool on or see how the plates spun, really separated the people who –
yeah,
could get on and stay on, and then the others that just sent lead.
it was really interesting. Some of the stages where you couldn't see your fuller shot was designed that way.
Yeah,
and you'd get, like I said before, like I got caught out in one of these tiny little chickens, and I couldn't get on the chickens till like the last shot. It took me four shots or something going backwards and forwards to get on. Then you finish and you're like, I didn't disagree there. And then you're watching other people got a first round impact and you're like, that was a lucky first round impact.
Yeah.
And then they went through and almost cleaned it because they knew where they were and they could adjust. You're sitting there watching like, oh, well, you're kicking yourself a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's something different that we haven't necessarily had before. So it was good. Yeah.
Good. Good to see more diversity in the course of fire and more challenges. And, it's excellent to see. So, Flushy, we look forward to what you have in store for everyone in Mildura, which could be very interesting.
Could be.
Or could be very boring.
Could be. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll find out in a few weeks.
He's staying very tight-lipped about all of this, which is excellent. It's good. All right, guys, any other comments on the match or should we wrap up?
No, it's good.
Nothing. Shout out to Aaron and Ash for putting together a great definitely. Match.
Well done, guys. Do you know what one of the best things about it was? How smoothly it ran.
It was very smooth.
There was no hold-ups. There was no banking up of shooters waiting to go on to the next stage. It was well organized. They just did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
Because it was ran slightly different.
Yes, it was.
After every stage, we moved position.
Yeah.
Which worked well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was good. Cool. Well, guys, have you got any sponsors or anyone to thank? You got any commitments in that regard? No? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Move on. I've got a couple. You got a couple?
Yeah. It's probably time to talk about it.
Sorry, I'm just joking.
Yeah. While you're doing that, the bearded chap sponsored the podcast, so go on, shout out to them.
No, this year I've got a few guys that are helping me out, which has been really, really good and really lucky. Manil, all my rifle accessories. Swan Barrels, I've been shooting them for 3 or 4 years now. They're really, really good. Mm. I come aboard with KDEX this year as a chassis sponsor, running the new Strike Pro, which is pretty good. I really like it, actually.
Okay.
Night Force for my optics, which is convenient because I've always pretty much run Night Force anyway. So it's a really good relationship, I suppose, where I can work with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, that was half the show. So
yeah. Andy. Thank you to all those guys.
Yeah. I'd like to say thanks for Carlos for continuing with supporting myself.
Yeah.
And Ash at APRS for getting it all happened for me.
Excellent.
For the rifle and things.
Beard a chap for a beard to thank. Do you want to thank Sony or something, do you, Josh?
No, we had to pay for all of these. when they send us a free one, then yeah.
All right. So X brand of camera. Good. And
we have Manil who said thank you, Plushy.
Oh, there you go.
Manil is here.
Got some love. So challenges, shot the best group out of whoever is there on the day for probably me and Josh and perhaps one of you guys. And whoever loses has to buy all the drinks for the next podcast. And the next podcast is going to be a 4-hour show, I believe.
Yeah, I'm getting an Uber home that night.
I still want to talk about my pay. Yeah,
okay. who was that? Sorry, I just heard a weird voice.
He's getting paid in gin. It's all right.
Cool. Dan Murphy vouchers. that's all it is. Cool. The giveaway. So leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. We're not too proud to ask for them. So there they are.
Anywhere.
Anyway,
just the front door.
that's right. Somebody else's page. And that is it. We're done. All right. Easy. Let's go see how many rounds we can bank before our next episode.
Okay.
Good luck. Cheers, guys.
See ya.